Mike, listen to these 5-star reviews. I can't believe I got my order so fast. Easiest exchange ever. A loyal customer for life. In the last 2 months, our reviews are better than ever.
That's because we leveled up our fulfillment process by switching to ShipStation. They're way more comprehensive than other solutions, and we save up to 90% off all major carriers.
Ugh, best upgrade ever.
Upgrade to ShipStation today to get a 60-day free trial at ShipStation.com, code AUDIO.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to MacroCap News. It's, what is it, Thursday, the 19th of June, 2025. It's boiling, roasting outside, isn't it? Absolutely scorcher. And tomorrow it's getting worse. The key is to look at the low of the day. Today it's going to be about 14. That's, 3 o'clock in the morning? No, in fact, it was 3 o'clock in the morning. Now, tonight it's going to be, or tomorrow, it's going to be 18. That's the problem, isn't it? Restless nights. Anyway, as I said, it is the 19th of June, and so it's 30 years since AIM came into existence. The AIM All Share, the alternative investment market, of course. And a lot of people criticise AIM because it gets a bad name because there's lots of crap companies on AIM. They shouldn't list. Many of them have no sight to profitability at all. And I think you come to the market to raise funds. I understand that. Also maybe give a bit of an exit to founders, all that stuff. But there are companies on AIM that, have raised money for as long as they've been on AIM. I mean, you're talking about a decade or so. And many companies have gone by the wayside recently because they can't raise money. It's as simple as that. I mean, from 2009 to 2021, created a load of zombie companies because interest rates were the lowest they've ever been for the longest they've ever been. That was an exceptional circumstance. So companies could raise money quite easily. And they jammed tomorrow stocks, and most of the companies delisting have been doing that for 10 years, raising money, pretty much, and they can't do any more. So to me, it produces a better index. And so these bad companies, the zombie companies, have tarnished AIM's reputation. But if you look globally, AIM has done very well. Absolutely done very well. I mean, like I said, there's loads of substandard business. In fact, from my Twitter feed, I've listed 30 AIM multi-baggers over the last 30 years, including 24 10-baggers. AIM has succeeded where others have failed. Like I said, Germany, the newer market, a newer markt, as it's called, closed in 2002, which was a technology junior bourse. Brussels did the ESDAC, again, another technology sort of junior market play, closed in 2003. France did Nouveau Marché, that closed in 2007, and Spain did Nuevo Mercado, closed in 2007. AIM is 30 and still going on. Now, if you look at the development of AIM over the last 30 years, it's started off in 1995, and since then it's supported more than 4,000 companies to raise nearly £136 billion. At launch, AIM just comprised of 10 companies, valued collectively at £82.2 million. Now, the average market cap is above that. It's above what they were all worth in 1995. The average market cap is £101 million. AIM has a total market capitalization of around about £68 billion. And this is after lost about 1,000 companies from AIM since 1995. I mean, the peak was 2007. They had about 1,670-odd companies listed on AIM. Now it's down to about 679 or 649. And I think it's good, getting rid of the dross. If you look at the AIM All Share Index, it's gone up and down, up and down. That's why you can't have an AIM tracker. There's no point. There's so much rubbish in there, it drags the industry down. Do you know what? I did a little search of resource companies because I noticed in this list of the best performing stocks, the very few resource companies, energy companies, mineral companies, companies that explore for gold, copper, whatever, lithium, whatever. There's a tiny, out of the sort of 30 companies, I think, but two of them were, energy resource companies. So, and I then went sector specific and looked at the performance of these types of companies. And there's 124 companies still listed. And it was like 60 of them. More than that. But 80 of these companies out of 124, 80 of these companies had lost 60% or more of their value since they listed. Many of them, and I would say about 40 of them, had lost over 90%. So if you're looking for winners, long-term winners, it is not within pre-revenue stocks, drilling for oil and gas or some resource company. It's not there. Or there are a few, but it's massively against the odds. Now, if you look at the big winners on that list I posted out on X, they're all revenue-generating profitable companies. Jet2 at the top there, 77,000% rise from its inception. All of these companies are generating revenue and profits. So if you're looking for sustainable, it's this myth. People chasing quick rises, trying to get rich fast. You don't. You end up getting poor fast. There's a lot of companies at the moment rallying, popping, and they are pops, and they will be followed by drops because they're doing Bitcoin treasury, all that stuff. And the reason why they capture attention is because they're popped. That's when people jump in, keeps momentum going. But most people will literally jump in towards the top, and they'll drop massively. I mean, if you look back at the chart of something like Coincilium, for example, it's had about three massive spikes in the last 10 years, and it's ended up lower afterwards. So when you hear about people talking about these companies, you hear about it because it's popped, right? And then it will drop. There's very few people talk about these companies when they're at the bottom. So if you think you're going to do 1,000% in a day or a couple of sessions, it's very unlikely to happen. It's not a fast way of getting rich. It's a fast way of getting poor. The best way, the best outperformers are good businesses trading well. That means growing their revenue and profits over time. And like I say, you try and take a shortcut, and I guarantee it'll be a quick route to the poorhouse. The best performers, remember this, people will deny it. They'll be holding these companies, like, you know, preclinical sort of or clinical stage biotech companies. It's all about story. Or, you know, resource companies, they do not perform long-term. You may see the odd spike, but if you want to do a long-term investment and build wealth, you know, slowly over time and more safely and sustainably over time, you look at good businesses, not pre-revenue or loss-making companies that are burning lots of cash. It doesn't work. You will have the odd pop, but as day follows night, the pop will be followed by a drop. That's my and I speak from experience here. Listen, I did very well in the low interest rate environment. I did dabble in some of these, you know, story stocks. And of course, the story flourishes when there's no funding problem. As long as there's no funding problem, then the hope high potential can flourish. When funding becomes an issue, that takes over as the main sort of screenplay, you know, the main event. So good luck with them. I mean, if you're going to go for these story stocks, like I said, the first thing you've got to concentrate on is, well, first of all, do they have cash? Secondly, how good is the story? Does it sell well? You know, has this company got a great resource, a massive resource? Do you know what? The track record of resource companies actually getting into production is literally, it's below 3%. So it's all about the stories. That's why they've got to have funding. If they've got funding secured for like 12 months, and the story can flourish. But be careful. Don't buy a stock when you've heard about it from lots of people on social media or bulletin boards, because the reason why people are talking about it is because it's rallied hard and it's likely to come back and fall back very hard as well. That's not the kind of company I want to play with anymore, because it's a hard environment for those companies in a high interest rate to raise money. And they will have to raise money. That's all they have to do. Let's go. Oh, I'm sorry, I've not done the podcast for 2 or 3 days. I've been working on a new feature on my website. I'm very excited about it, and it's coming up nicely indeed, and I like it a lot, and it's in development right now, and I've had to do lots of research on this. I talked about it yesterday on the webinar. By the way, if you remember and not listened to the webinar yesterday, please watch the webinar. It'll explain exactly what I'm doing. and we'll cover it there. But please, you know, by all means, check it out. Okay, let's have a quick look then at the market. Shall we just go to the markets first? It's a bit of a bumpy day today. Seems like everything's escalating in the Middle East between Iran and Israel. Iran has just bombed a hospital in Israel, and they're saying that it was next to a military center. Israel are complaining, but to be fair, you know, Israel said you've bombed a civilian site. Well, have you not done that in Gaza? I'm not saying it's right. Of course, it's absolutely wrong. But I think with Iran, there's no. I saw Keir Starmer saying, "Oh, they have to negotiate with them." But no, you don't negotiate with Iran. They wouldn't negotiate. You've got to take out their nuclear capability. There's with bunker buster bombs that only America has. Take it all out, then they maybe come to the table because they have nothing left. But until then, you can't negotiate with them. So that's when the markets are a bit jittery at the moment. Who knows what's going to go on? I think people are waiting for Trump to speak up. I don't know if he's awake yet. He probably is. Do you know what? Trump is fear and fun. That's what I see Trump. He's fearful of what he's doing sometimes. But sometimes when he speaks, it is ultimately very funny. I was watching him yesterday just slagging off Jerome Powell, head of the Fed, calling him stupid. Calling him too late Powell. Like he's always too late and he's always right. And he wanted to be head of the Fed, Trump did yesterday. He's just hilarious. But he's thinking, this guy's a maniac. You know, if he wasn't president, I suppose because he is president, it is funny. But it was absolutely nuts, the things he was saying. Anyway, let's have a look. Let's start off with FTSE 100. It's down 0.25%, 8819. FTSE 250, the American markets are shut today, by the way. FTSE 250 is down 0.7%, 21148. FTSE small cap, it's down 0.5%, 7026. But these are all towards, you know, pretty much highs, all-time highs and recent highs. And the AIM All Share is still in, you know, I've got to say, in bull market territory. Bull market is 749, we're at 760, but it's down 0.3%. Let's look at commodities. Brent crude, it's up. God, it's been a rally here. Let's check how much it's gone up in the last few days. Since 2nd of June, it's rallied by 24%, Brent crude oil. It's up to $77.34 a barrel. So gold is still edge, well, it's down today, 0.7%, but still not far off the highs. We are at $33.84, so $3,384 an ounce. The high was what, $34, so not far off that. Copper's down, so gold is down, 0.7%. Copper's down at 0.8%. Where is it at? $10,611. Anything else? How's lithium playing out? Lithium's had a bit of a rally recently. And looking good to go, lithium. Uranium I'm talking about. Uranium. Because of course, the AI data centres, they're going to need uranium. Huge amount of energy needed. And uranium's the play. So have a look into uranium. I mean, I hold Yellow Cake, which is YCA. And it's a play on the sort of the energy consumption that's going to happen through. And if you look at all the big tech companies at the moment that are investing in nuclear, you know, it's unbelievable. All of them, all the big tech players, like from Amazon to Meta to who else is it? Google, they're all doing it. Microsoft, they're all doing it. What else we got there? Anything else there? No, that's it. Quick government bonds. 2-year yield is 3.8, down 0.5%. The 10-year, of course, is 4.5. I say, of course, and why is that? It's flat. And the 30-year is at 5.4, again, flat. A pound will buy you €1.16. Oh, it's weakened quite a bit there. I don't know why. It's up a little. Well, it's just not flat today, but of course, the Bank of England didn't reduce interest rates because they're worried about what's going to happen in. Oh, they're worried about everything. Just reduce them, you fools. And pound will buy you $1.34. Okay, let's look at the microcap database. So Let's go to the first one. A to Z, these are companies that are microcaps, of course, because that's where the best performers come from, but they have to be commercial, because, again, that's where the best performers come from. That means they have to be have revenue. And if they're good enough, I'll add them to the microcap league. They may not display on the microcap league because they may not score high enough, but they could be eligible for the microcap league. So first and foremost, Anpario. AGM statement, the international producer and distributor of high-performance natural feed additives for animal health, hygiene, and nutrition. So they are a market cap of 70 million. Enterprise value at the last, well, taking this last set of accounts, was 59 million. So they did have 10 million in cash, and they've got 9 million in cash. But they say they're in line, everything's going well. Inventories have gone up, so the cash has gone down a bit, but say they are confident of achieving market expectations for the full year. The forecasts for full year are revenue to increase by 17%, net profit to increase by 29%. At 418 per share, this would put them on a PE forecast PE of 13, which is not bad for that type of growth. Plus, they have a strong balance sheet with 9 million in cash and pay a dividend yield of 2.7% at 418. So a very decent company indeed. Always thinking into is come off a little bit today, I think, because their cash level is a little bit lower than they thought, but it's due to them being busy and stocking up on inventory. So it's looking very good. ANP, worth the watch list. Next, Aurigo International. AURR is ticker. The international designer and developer of fully integrated smart airside solutions for the aviation industry, including automated vehicles, systems and software. Market cap, 55 million. Enterprise value, 51. And they said today, what did they say? They said their revenues will be weighted to the second half. Ooh, as expected, they say. Particularly given the timing of ongoing autonomous tender process. But also said, whilst the outturn will be somewhat dependent on the timings and outcomes of these tender processes, results for the full year are currently expected to be in line with board's expectations. So less confident there. As long as they win these tender processes and they come in time, then they're going to hit that expectations. So I like this company. I like the technology, but they are going to be loss-making for a while. They are heading in the right direction, but let's looking forward. Let's look at the forecasts for next year. Are going to be 12 million in revenue, which is 35% growth, but still losing about 2.5 million in cash. So they probably need more cash because they raised about 3 million, didn't they, recently? But I do like the company. It looks very good. They do seem to be signing some decent contracts there. What else is there? Roslyn Data Technologies, RDT. United Kingdom-based provider of cloud-based enterprise data analytics platform. Market cap 2.5, enterprise value 1.9. And then there's a trading update today. You always have to look at the negatives in the trading update because, you know, they, by default, the company will paint the positives for you. But, you know, they'll try to, you know, wash over or paint over the negatives. So they say, we have consequently reduced the revenue as a broker because the conversion pipeline is delayed. It'll extend into 2026 now. And they've reduced revenue to 3.6, down from 5.9, which is a large drop in revenue. So as far as my comments on this is, I can't believe I've wasted time inputting the data for RDT on the site. My advice is to not waste your time even thinking about investing in RDT. I've wasted my time, so you don't have to. The company has lost about 99.9% of its value over the last 10 years. Brokers have downgraded their forecast for 2026. Even by 2026, they're still expecting to make a loss of 2.3 million, and they've cashed of 1.7, which means they're probably need to raise more money. This company has accumulated losses of 28 million since it listed, and the market cap was less than 3 million. It's another contender for biggest waste of space on AIM. This is one of those companies that gives AIM a bad reputation. So if I was you, I would ignore it. Okay? Absolutely ignore it. Pointless. I mean, there's no growth. They're not going to get profit anytime soon. And they're going to need to raise cash. And they've forever done that. That's all they've ever done. It's promise, not deliver, etc., etc. Next. I missed this one. Let's do one more. And this is Oxford Metrics. Oh, this is two more. OMG, smart sensing and software company that enables the interface between the real world and its virtual twin. They've got a market cap of 61 million. Listen to this. Enterprise value of 10. In fact, it's a bit higher than that now because they've been through a bit of cash. But they had interim results. So top line, in fact, let's go to my comments. I'm sure I cover it down there. OMG has released 2025 H1 results, which were not an improvement on 2024. Revenue dropped by 14% to 20 million. They generated a loss before tax of 666, number of the beast. So a loss of 666 versus a profit before tax last year of 3.67. And net cash decreased by 27% to 39.9 million versus 54.8, largely due to share buybacks and dividend payments. The board anticipates the full year adjusted EBIT to be in line with the board's expectations. One worry they do say is that the US are having problems cancelling or being delayed contracts up there. The US National Institutes of Health, the world's largest funder of biomedical research, is facing significant changes and a subsequent reduction in grants and funding. So forecasts for 25 are for revenue to grow by 10%, net profit expected to decrease by 8% to 2.7 million, which at 58 pence would put them on a PE ratio of 26. Not cheap, but they do have a lot of cash, so the EV earnings ratio is 7. But there's a lack of growth here, even though it suggests to be H2 weighted. Wait for companies to improve, you know, because otherwise, if they don't improve and you jump in early, then of course it could go down further. And finally, Hercules, used to be called Hercules Site Services. So confusing. Market cap, 35.4 million. Enterprise value, 36. So in fact, that's changed now, actually. So H1 results were top line growth, 18%. In fact, let's go to my comments. So what do they do, by the way, Hercules? Leading tech-enabled labour supply company for the UK infrastructure sector. Now, we've heard a lot about Labour's investment there in that sector, so it could be a beneficiary. But revenue increased by 18%. It's an improvement. Profit before tax up by 22%. Again, double digit. And they recorded net cash of 900K versus net debt of 4.3. However, it did receive gross cash consideration of 2.3 for the disposal of the excavator business. So they say they're doing well. The board is confident of meeting market expectations. The forecasts for 2025 are revenue expected to increase by 10%. Profit for tax forecast to increase by 47%. At 47 pence, it was put on a decent valuation of 13, which is good for that kind of growth. The share price has come off a little bit. I don't understand why. It's quite a liquid stock. I mean, the CEO, I think, holds about 47% of the stock. So it's quite illiquid because, of course, there's not much stock in free float. And this is why, of course, if there's buying demand as well, the share price will react exaggeratedly. And if they're selling, in both ways. But decent results, I thought. And like I said, if Labour's investment plan carries on, then, you know, into infrastructure, and they should benefit from that. So worth a watch, I think, Hercules. That's it for today's podcast. Thank you very much. If you want to check out a new feature coming soon, go to sharepickers.com, become a member, less than £3 a week. It's an investment in yourself. It's well worth it. In fact, I had a member last night. It's absolutely so well worth it. You know, three major features on the website now: Microcap League, the Microcap Database, and soon to become, well, I'm not going to say what it is, it's a secret, but I think it's game changing. It'll be there on the website soon. Plus, of course, you've got everything else, like blog posts I do, and a chat group there, plus my holdings, Microcap League Fund, everything else on there. But there's loads to have a mess around with. And of course, the live weekly webinar, which even that's worth, let's be honest. An hour of my time, and I put like an hour of, in fact, last night, I put quite a few hours of research into it. So that's going to be worth, if I charge even for the 1 hour, National Living Wage, then the Sharepickers Investment Club membership should be like £600 a year. It's not. It's £199, or you can get 25% discount. So check it out, sharepickers.com. And if you like this podcast, if it provides you with any value, because it's free, by all means, if you could, I'd really appreciate you give me a high rating and review on Apple or your podcast provider, as it does help other people find the podcast. I know it's a pain. It takes time out of the day. It's hard to find. But like I say, if you want to mention, if you've done it, you email me. If you've done it, justin@sharepickers.com, and I'll give you a mention. In fact, Mick, thanks for that. Pete, AI Pete, thanks for that, for doing that. Who else? A few other people did it, emailed me. Thank you very much for the reviews. It's honestly, it's much appreciated, because it's a bit of a pain in the backside doing it. Anyway, keep cool in this weather. You know, stay out of the sun. That's the best thing. Once your body temperature goes up, it's hard to get it back down, you know. Maybe if you're going to sunbathe, you know, do it later on, then have a shower or bath. It's up to you. That bit's up to you. I'm not telling you what to do. If you prefer a bath, go for that. I prefer a shower, to be honest. But there we are. Thanks a lot. Speak you tomorrow. Muchos apreciados.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Please do your own research.